Just because a lifestyle or a direction is popular doesn't make it the way we should go. It's so easy for us to look around at what other people are doing and want to do what they do or have what they have because it appears as if that is something that we need. And this is a huge problem in our culture. People want things, I think, simply because someone else has it. Like, we don't really think about what it is that they have. We just want it because somebody has it. Like, we want to party, not because we have fun, but because other people party. Like, if you're anything like me, like, parties are miserable. Like, I'm like, ugh, I just want to go home. But, like, there's a tendency, like, we got to go because everybody's doing it. Or we want to have relationships because other people have relationships. Or we don't work hard because other people don't work hard. Or we feel entitled because other people feel entitled. Or we feel like we want to get discovered, right? That's like our culture. Like, let's get discovered on YouTube or something because other people got discovered. And it's like we want something simply because other people have it. But we don't understand. Listen, this is so important that popularity isn't the same as importance.
Worship Generation Radio presents Pastor Nate Gallagher of the Factory Youth, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Vero Beach. We are currently in a series looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. One of the things that we hear Jesus say in this sermon is, "You have heard it was said, but I say to you." Jesus is bringing a new message from heaven, and that message is the way that God's kingdom works and how we can be a part of it. And the kingdom of God is nothing like the kingdom of men. If we want to be great in his kingdom, we must learn to be the servant of all. Although this seems counterintuitive, it makes the kingdom of God accessible for everyone. And in this series, we are learning how we could be a part of God's kingdom. Here's Pastor Nate with today's teaching.
Simple versus satisfying. That's the first contrast that he lays out for us in these two roads. Secondly, popular versus importance. Just because everyone's doing it doesn't make it worth doing. This is like the oldest principle we learn, right? Like you do something stupid and you're like, well, everyone was doing it. And then your parents say what? Well, if everyone was jumping off a cliff, would you do it? And then you say like, well, if it was deep enough and there was water at the bottom, then yeah, I totally would. And they'd be like, go to your room. Jesus recognizes the reality of the popularity of the wide road. He says there are many who go down it. And the reason many go down it is because it's easy and it's fun and it's wide and you can do whatever you think you want with no accountability. And it's just super, like, just, yeah, be you, like, be a free spirit, whatever you want to be. Just go down that road, have fun, and you'll get wherever you will get. And so, of course, people are going to go down that road. But just because people are going that direction doesn't make it the right direction. I sort of have a tendency, maybe you're like me, I have a tendency to walk in front of people. I think it's like my need to control things. Like, I have to have the remote in my hand. I have a tendency to like walk in front. Like, we'll be in a group and I have a tendency to just like walk in front of people. I hate like walking slow. Like, I want to go at my pace. And so I just walk in front of people. And my wife and I, it's kind of awkward because I like walk fast and I'm like, and then I'll like slow down. And it's anyways, there'll be times where we'll go places and my tendency to walk in front of people happens regardless of where we go, and there'll be places where I've never been before, but I decide that I'm the leader of the group. It's like, I've never been here, but let's go my way. Like, one time we were at downtown Disney, or what's it called now? Disney Springs, yeah. We were there, and we were trying to get to the Rainforest Cafe. You ever been to the Rainforest Cafe? The place is awesome. Anyways, there was like 10 of us trying to go to the Rainforest Cafe, and I like hopped off. We took the shuttle there. I like hopped off and like, let's go, and everyone's following me, and somebody that's been there before like, where are you going? I'm like, to the Rainforest Cafe. They're like, it's that direction. I'm like, oh, right, I've never been here before. Like, let's go your direction. And just because, like, everyone's going that direction, just because you're following somebody that appears like they know what they're doing, I don't, doesn't mean you're going the right direction. We were all going the same way, but it isn't the way we wanted or needed to go. We're all going this direction, but the way we want to go is that way. And just because everybody's going that way doesn't mean that's the right direction. Just because a lifestyle or a direction is popular doesn't make it the way we should go. It's so easy for us to look around at what other people are doing and want to do what they do or have what they have because it appears as if that is something that we need. And this is a huge problem in our culture. People want things, I think, simply because someone else has it. Like, we don't really think about what it is that they have. We just want it because somebody has it. Like, we want to party, not because we have fun, but because other people party. Like, if you're anything like me, like, parties are miserable. Like, I'm like, ugh, I just want to go home. But, like, there's a tendency, like, we got to go because everybody's doing it. Or we want to have relationships because other people have relationships. Or we don't work hard because other people don't work hard. Or we feel entitled because other people feel entitled. Or we feel like we want to get discovered, right? That's like our culture. Like, let's get discovered on YouTube or something because other people got discovered. And it's like we want something simply because other people have it. But we don't understand. Listen, this is so important that popularity isn't the same as importance. Popularity isn't the same as importance, although we view popularity as important, right? We view people like the person that's popular or the person that everybody likes. We view them as they are important. And the reason they're important is because they're popular. But that's not always the case. Usually the road to importance is not the popular road. Usually it takes hard work. It takes dedication to actually have a place where what you're doing is important. It's not always and rarely is popular. And we can't confuse importance and popularity. The person at your school that you think, man, if I could just be like them because they're so popular, we think they're so important. Look at how everybody looks at them. Do you know what? As soon as something else gets cool and they're no longer cool, the crowd's going to follow that. Because it's popularity isn't importance. Jesus shows us very clearly that just because everyone is doing something doesn't mean what they're doing is significant or important. If we want to have significance, we can't just do what everyone else is doing simply because they're doing it. Do what God wants you to do. When we're doing what God wants you to do, even if on the surface it doesn't seem important, it's important. Because you're doing something for the kingdom. You're doing something for eternity. You're doing something that lasts, something that matters. It might, it's just a small thing. It's not a big deal what I'm doing. Trust me, it's a big deal. It's a way bigger deal than doing nothing and appearing as if you're doing something. We want to live in such a way and recognize that popularity is not the same as importance, and we want to go down the road that's important, not necessarily the road that's popular. And Jesus says, there's a road. There's two roads you can choose. One will lead you to significance. One is going to be really simple, and it's going to be let down at the end. The other, there's two roads again. One, it seems popular. It seems exciting. It's fun right now, but it means nothing. But there's another road. It's difficult. It's hard. It's frustrating at times. But at the end, there's reward. It is important. Point three, you still with me? Cool. Last contract, end versus eternal. Sometimes it is healthy to look at the end at the start. Jesus tells us really the two biggest differences in the two roads, and that's the destination. I mean, that's the two biggest difference in every road, right? This road leads to that place, and this road leads to that place. The destination is different. And he says the big contrast between the two is one leads to life and the other leads to death, or he says destruction. And it is important that we remind ourselves of that, especially if we choose to walk with God and we're walking on that difficult road. Because the reality is when the road is difficult, it's hard to look at the end. We focus on the difficulty that we're facing, right? I think the worst thing to say to someone when they're going through difficulty is that it's going to get better. It's like, well, it's not better now, so thanks for nothing, right? Like somebody just lost a loved one, or somebody just failed a test or a class and they've got to get held back. And you're like, well, it'll get better. It's like, no, it's not. Like, tell me how it's going to get better. It's not, it's horrible right now. It's like, I think it's the worst encouragement you could give someone, because people don't care about one day getting better. They're focused on the pain they're in right now. That's a reality. And the reality is life is hard and walking with God is difficult. And then we look around, and this is the problem that I really want to talk about, is we look around and we see other people who don't care about the things of God, that they're not trying to walk with God, that they're not attempting to live as God wants them to live, and yet they seem happy and life is easy and they seem like everything's going their way. And for us, we're looking at our lives and we're going, okay, talk to me for a second, because God told me that I would have blessings in life. God told me that he would give me purpose in life. God told me that he would give me joy that doesn't make any sense. God told me that he would guard my heart with the love that and the peace that surpasses understanding. And yet, I look around, and that person who doesn't have a relationship with God seems way happier and way more at peace and way more successful and way better than I do, and I'm the one that's promised the blessings, not them. And then we go, why am I doing this? If I were to just give up and do what they're doing, I would have everything that I wanted right now. So why go through all this frustration? And it makes it hard to continue to do the right things and struggle when if we gave up, it seems like we'd have success. Go with me to Psalm chapter 73. And the psalmist that's writing, it's a dude named Asaph, which is a pretty cool name. And he had this same struggle. Listen to the way he describes this struggle that he has. He starts out by professing that God is Lord. He says, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. Listen to this. This is where he gets frustrated. He says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. He says, for I was envious of the boastful. He says, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. That's what we're talking about. He says, for them, there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. He says, they're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. He says, violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. In other words, they have everything that I want. They have more than the heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? They're saying, who cares what God thinks? He says, and there is knowledge, and is there knowledge in the Most High? They're saying, who cares what God thinks? I'm living this way. My life is good. There's abundance in my life. I'm prospering. All these things. He says, there's no God out there. Who cares what God thinks? And then it says, behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. Surely, listen to this. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. In other words, I've got a relationship with God for no reason, it seems like. I'm doing the things that I thought would help my life and make life simpler, but it seems like I'm cleansed my heart in vain. And he says, and wash my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Listen, the psalmist writes this and he's frustrated. Can you sense the frustration in him? He's like, okay, God, I want to say that you're good. And he says, but I'm falling here. I'm stumbling here because I look around at the world and the people that don't have a relationship with God have a much better life and the life that I thought I was promised, and they're not following God and they don't have a relationship with God, and everything's simple and everything's easy and they're passing classes and they've got relationships and they're popular and they're successful and they've got more followers on Instagram, and we look at our life and it's like, this isn't fair. It seems so easy for them and they have what the believer is promise. And this is a reality in our culture today. You look around at people at school and they're doing great at school and they're not trying so hard. And you're like, what the heck? And they have favor with their teachers. Your teacher's always like, I need to talk with you after class. And they're like, good job, Johnny, you're killing it. And you're like, what the heck? or maybe you look at your friends who aren't believers and their parents are happy while your parents are getting divorced. And you're going, how is that fair? Or you look at that person who got the position you wanted on the team and they didn't do anything to deserve it. It's like, what? Why? I thought I was the one that was supposed to get the blessing. Or that person is getting noticed by the person you like. And you're like, wait a second. It's frustrating. Like, why is this the case? Listen to how the psalmist concludes. We left off in verse 15. He says, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. Listen to this. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. And then he says, until. I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. He says, I'm looking at their life, and their life seems to be blessed, and they've got abundance, and it looks like they have purpose and satisfaction, and everything's going well. And he's like, I almost stumbled and fell. I almost gave up and said, forget it. I washed my heart in vain. This was pointless. I'm just going to live like them because they have a better life than I do anyways. And then he says, and then I went into the presence of God. I met with God. And it says, when I met with God, I understood the reality that that is going to end. Their road has an end. The parties are going to end. The relationships are going to end. The success is going to stop. All the things that we think that's what life is about, it's all going to come to an end. But the life of the one that follows Jesus is eternal. Jesus says, listen, there's two roads. One is wide, one is easy, one's got parties, one's happy, one's carefree. Do whatever you want, live however you want, and you're going to arrive at a place and your life is going to end and there's going to be no meaning and no satisfaction and you're going to be disappointed. There's another road, it's tough. He just lays it all out there. He's not trying to sugarcoat it. He's like, this life is hard. Walking with Jesus, it's not easy. Do you know why? Because there's temptations. Because there's struggles, because there's persecutions, because there's hard times. He says, that's a reality. But the difference, one's gonna end and one's eternal. They may have something now, but it is guaranteed to come to an end. But the life of the believer is guaranteed to be eternal. Well, we have to look at the end of the road. We have to stand here wherever we're at on our journey. Maybe we just got saved and we're like, you're telling me that I got to walk that road? And it's like, yeah, it's going to be tough. Maybe you've been doing it for a while and you feel how difficult it is. And you're like, I want to give up. Listen, you've got to do this. You got to look up from whatever's going on in your life, whether it's issues at home, whether it's issues at school, whether it's temptations in your heart or in your mind. And you got to look up and you got to say, for the believer, the struggles are going to end and life is going to be eternal. For the one that doesn't believe in Jesus, the parties are going to end and the struggle will be eternal. And so we got to stop and say, there is an end or there is an eternity. And we have to look at the end of the road and say, it is worth it in the end. Hey, it may be frustrating now. It may be confusing now. It may be difficult now. Let me tell you one thing, that God can get us through it even in the middle, that God wants to give you peace that surpasses understanding in the middle and joy and purpose even in the middle. You don't have to wait till the end to feel the purpose that God wants to give you. But you got to understand that it's not easy. You got to understand that you're going to get invited to parties and you're going to want to go and it's going to be really hard to say no and you're like, it'd just be way easier to go. But if I go, I'm going to fail. And it's going to be hard because you're going to get that text from that guy or girl that you know you shouldn't be hanging out with. And it's so easy to give in. But listen, that relationship, it will end. And Jesus is eternal. And we sing glory.
That concludes the teaching portion of today's message. But before we go, here's Nate with his wife Hannah to talk about how we could put this into practice.
So you talked today about how popularity does not equal importance,
right?
Which is such a foreign thought in our culture and just the world around us, and not just in, the time right now, but in all of human history, popularity has meant importance. So how do we as Christians adjust our mindset to be able to not think that way in a world where that's all that matters?
Well, I'd like to say specifically, if there's any junior high or high school students listening right now, I think it's so important that you hear what we're talking about, that popularity doesn't equal importance. Mm-hmm. Just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean it's worth doing.
Right.
But like Hannah said, it's such a reality that we look around at our world and we can very easily assume that importance is defined by popularity. Everybody's doing this. This is what everybody wants to be doing. So that must mean that the people that are doing it are important. But the reality is God doesn't view it that way. Mm-hmm. We see over and over in Scripture people that are doing the littlest things that are so important from heaven's perspective. Now, from Earth's perspective, you look at them and they're like, they're not doing anything. they're not making any difference. They're not making a bunch of money. They don't have a bunch of followers. Like, it's not that important. But from heaven's perspective, it's a way bigger deal. And the way I think we shift our focus and we allow ourselves to recognize that just because it's popular doesn't make it important is because we decide that we want God to be pleased with us and proud of us more than what people think of us. Mm-hmm. And just taking a step back and realizing, do you know what? I want to be doing this because God wants me to be doing this. Right. And I don't want to be doing this because God doesn't want me to be doing this. And I would way rather be have people around me ashamed of me because I'm not going with what everybody else is doing than have God ashamed of me because I'm not doing what he's called me to do. Jesus says that if we deny him before people, he will deny us before his Father in heaven. Wow. I would way rather people be upset at me and offended by me because I stand out and I'm different than Jesus to stand before his Father in heaven and say, I just don't know this person because they constantly denied me. They did what everybody else was doing rather than what God had for them. And so I think as we go through life, and I said specifically junior high and high school is because at school and at places like that, it's so easy for us to try to go with what everybody else is doing. Not exclusively at junior high and high school. There's grown-ups that are dealing with the same thing. They're talking about the things that work or, you know, at wherever, because that's what everybody else is saying, rather than stepping above and saying, do you know what? I want to live pleasing to God way more than pleasing to people. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something genuine and something attractive when we live like that, even to the world, that we kind of live in a culture that everybody wants to be unique. You know, we've got the hipsters and all these different things that are, you know, trying to be unique. And the reality is one of the most unique things you can do is live pleasing to God.
Wow.
And so we're just going to make that standard and say, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's important. And I want to live in doing the things that God thinks are important. So I transitioned a little bit towards the end of the message and talked about how when we look around at our world, it seems like those that don't have a relationship with God and aren't living or attempting to live pleasing to God seem to have more success here on earth than Christians who have set themselves apart that are trying to live pleasing to God. Why is it, do you think, that so often it seems to go that way, that people aren't trying to live pleasing to God have more money, you know, have the more successful, you know, whatever, even in Hollywood, the music industry, all these things, it seems like the secular industry has way more power and is just more successful than the Christian industry in a lot of ways. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it goes back to what we just were talking about popularity and importance, and that the world, or people who are living in the world, and to them, this is it. There's no eternity. There's no God. They can live in such a way on earth where every popular thing they can follow and they can do. Because to them, it equals importance. It equals more popularity, more fame. And so they will post those pictures or they will sing those lyrics and have this message in their films because it's popular and it's what can get them more recognition.
Right.
A Christian who doesn't want to have those things represent their lives, they are choosing, making that hard decision to say, popularity does not equal importance. And just because I'm not popular in the world's eyes and doing what's popular on, it's not just on big levels like that, but just in the workplace, even if you're working a minimum wage job somewhere, there are popular things to say that will make you more friends. There are popular jokes to make or popular lies to tell that you have to choose every day to not make those and to decide for yourself that that's not meaning they're important or you're less important. You have to live in such a way that you want to be popular in the Lord's eyes.
That's good.
And so I think it's just our world is under the dominion of Satan until Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom here. It's for the most part always going to be like this.
Wow.
Not that the Lord doesn't put good Christian people on pedestals in those industries and in the world's eyes, there are very popular Christians, mm-hmm. and that's wonderful, but that's not always how it goes, and we can't expect that the world will ever align with Christ and his view, so we have to expect to always be going against it.
Thank you for listening to today's study presented by Worship Generation Radio. If you would like to listen again or hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, visit us online at ccvb.net/thefactorypodcast. You can keep up with all that is going on with Pastor Nate or The Factory by following on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher or at The Factory Youth. If this message has blessed you, we would love to hear about it. Send an email to church@ccvb.net. Join us next time as we continue studying the Bible with Pastor Nate Gallagher.